this... God, I don't even know how to open this, guys.
Welcome, 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 welcome.
Dude, I'm gonna cut this down and edit it later, okay?
Yeah, I know. This is why I wanted you to have some sort of idea what you wanted to say.
Well, I do have some ideas, but they all sound pretty cheesy.
Yeah, you do need to somehow have some kind of opening for your own podcast here.
I understand that. Alright, let's call it the Game Mechanics.
Alright, welcome to the Game Mechanics.
Yes, Chuck and Lonnie over at Dragon's Landing Inn have been nice enough to give me a few minutes, and I have conned my roommates into joining me into recording this, where we're going to talk a little bit about game rules. Just stay a little system agnostic, but talk about the importance of game rules, how they can change your gameplay, and how there's almost a language being developed with game mechanics. I got Mike with me.
Hey.
And Adam.
How you doing?
Mike, so what games do you play? What are you interested in? What's your history?
I've played all kinds of stuff. D&D is the obvious choice. Shadowrun, Tristat.
What's your favorite game system?
Probably D&D. But that's D&D? That's just...
Which edition?
Honestly, second edition.
Alright, that's cool. That's cool. The crunch isn't my thing, but alright. Adam, what do you play?
I'd have to go computer-based system with an MMORPG, followed...
I know you're big on WoW.
Yes.
Huge on WoW.
World of Warcraft, EverQuest.
I did play EQ for a long time.
EverQuest is
that
a good
really
game.
Sounds like a personal problem, guys.
EverQuest is a good game. Followed, of course, by Pen and Papers. I'm always a fan of Dungeons and Dragons. Rifts, always very popular.
Adam and I are big Magic players, too.
Magic, yes. You can't forget your card games as well.
Yes, I'm big on Magic. I don't have any cards, but I play with these guys' decks, and they beat me because I don't know what their decks do.
Okay, so...
So, Adam, what's your favorite system for tabletop RPGs?
For tabletop RPGs, 3.5 edition Dungeons & Dragons is a beautiful system.
Really?
But 4th edition is really beginning to open my eyes to the true power.
See, personally,
oh God,
I'm,
it is so powerful.
Yes, I'm loving 4th edition. I'm loving 4th edition over 2nd and 3rd. By the way,
Well, it has brought the Monty Hall of 2nd edition into the new era.
Yes, yes it has, except it's done it with magic powers and a whole bunch of abilities. And I like that. It's a little easier to play with them.
Well, that sounds like a good starting off point.
Yes, it does. Although, I'll take a minute to say I've got a history in a lot of computer games. Expanded to consoles a few years ago. My favorite is computer adventure games. The sillier, the better.
Oh, it's all about you, isn't it?
What do you mean? Wait, you guys had your turn. Now I'm taking my turn. You can back off. And for tabletop, play a lot of Call of Cthulhu, some Shadowrun. I gotta say my favorite system, though, is Spirit of the Century. I love that it's just so light and easy and simple. After that, Tristat, but...
No love for Fading Suns, huh? We both love Fading Suns, and none of us are gonna say anything about it.
Okay, yes, there is Fading Suns. Fading Suns is something special. I love that victory point system. It's D20s all the way for everything. Great.
Okay, so let's the power of a game.
Yes. How the game mechanics can alter your game.
I'd like to throw the first example out there. Just the game mechanics versus, like, the story of a system. You could take a system, for example, Rifts, for example. It's a beautiful world, cyberpunk, you know, they've got juicers, vibroblades, lots and lots of fun. But when you
so
base
incredibly
it,
overpowered.
It's of course, it's completely
and
overpowered.
And the rules are horrible.
But see, that's where I'm basing it down to. When
so
it coming down
math.
To the game mechanics of
that's
the system, the system itself, the game, the mechanics of the system is too complicated.
I mean, do you really need mega damage? Really,
mega damage.
I mean, come on, do you really need?
No. And giga damage.
Oh, God. That's just not acceptable.
I agree entirely. That's a perfect example of a rule system utterly destroying an interesting game world.
I agree.
And how a game, how a rule set can alter the tone of a story too. Like, look at D&D. Think of how your gameplay experience would be different if you play with battle maps and miniatures, tactically moving all your pieces around versus, well, what we tend to do, sitting around on couches and just saying, that guy's 30 feet away, that guy's behind a tree.
You know, and that's another good example, and it's kind of on the same base of the mechanics of the game, is look at the difference between having powers that you can use all day long versus not... You're a wizard in 3.5, your first level.
Oh, yeah. Before 4th edition, one of the holy grails in D&D was getting a power that worked all day long.
Yep.
And there were several spells and feats designed around getting a power to work all day. Whereas now, in 4th ed, they're effectively all day because they're at will. I love wizards now. Prestidigitation at will is...
Lord, wizards are horribly powerful. Still, but at the same time...
They don't get overpowered.
Paladins
like
can kill people with their good looks.
Yes.
Death by smile.
Yes, but that's kind of... That's another thing a lot of games deal with, is abstraction, and how you abstract an idea like being very charismatic and well-spoken and having that leadership aura into being a charisma stat, which also measures your physical good looks.
Yeah.
But then, that abstraction also can change how the gameplay works. Like, Deadlands has location-based damage. Provides a totally different feel to the combat versus D&D's hit point pool.
Oh, I do like me some Deadlands, too. Yeah, I mean, it does change the feel of the game, though.
Zombies with cowboy hats.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with zombies with cowboy hats.
I think I broke your lanyard.
Would you give me the thing and just not... Jesus, this is why I can't...
That's like the
things.
Second retractable thing that's broken around. Alright.
There you go.
Yeah, I fixed it. You break it, I fix it. That's how it
kind of how things go around here.
Yes. Yes, although I think shaking that ice directly in front of your mace face between you and the mic probably
was a great idea.
Yes, that was brilliant.
You'll just edit it out. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'll probably get to that. Maybe I'll leave it.
It could be funny. We'll see how it plays.
Yes.
Do you want to move on to video games?
So goofy. Well, that's another one of where the game mechanics can totally alter the tone of the story. Like
video games, real-time strategy versus first-person shooter versus third-person...
Well, one good example would be real-time strategy versus turn-based strategy. Just before the podcast, we were talking about StarCraft and how that the panic of a Zerg rush would feel totally different if it were done in a turn-based strategy system.
I still think it'd be there.
Oh, of course it would, but it wouldn't be the... Oh no, they have overrun the defenses and are now decimating my base. It would be,
and
oh man, these guys are
but
relentless.
Hydralisks on my horizon.
Yeah, and whereas with turn-based, I think the sense of panic would be more creeping, and it would be just, oh no, they're overrunning my defenses. I have 5 turns to take care of them before they get me.
But then you were saying earlier, I like your example of take Halo, you know, the of course the first person shooter, and then take that and put that into a turn based strategy game.
Yes. Would the story even work as a turn based strategy game?
Well, let alone the story, just the game mechanics.
Very true. With something like regenerating shields, is that a game mechanic that would make any sense?
Well, just the flood alone, you'd have to take the weapons that you're given as Halo, and you know, when encountering something like the flood, where you've got 15 little guys coming at you all at once, you know, you'd have to turn those weapons into some kind of AOE damage, area of effect, to start, you know, dealing with that.
which would also lead to very different weapons, which trying to maintain the same tone and yet with a different game mechanic would result in very different weapons in that case. You couldn't feel like the immortal, all-powerful Spartan soldier that you are in Halo if you had the same weapons during an RTS. On top of that, I don't think you'd feel the same connection to the character that you would.
No, it's more personal.
Yeah, as an FPS, it's much more personal. For example, Mirror's Edge, giving people motion sickness.
Yeah.
And to put the little dot on there, I don't get that. I think they're wussies. But
when did gamers turn into wussies?
I don't know. I really don't know. While I'm all for things like regenerating health, I mean, they can work for a certain story, there are also some times when I would like to go back to the classic.
What happened to Contra? One hit and you're just dead.
Mega Man 9.
Yeah, that's great. And look at the reaction. People are eating it up.
Yeah. Or in tabletop RPGs, look at, like, Deadlands, where 5 hits to any extremity and you're pretty much out of a fight. Versus D&D, where in second ed, in Spelljammer, I could survive re-entry.
Yeah. Yeah, that does say something, too. There is always the lethality of a system.
Which,
I like a good lethal system. It makes you want to fight just a little bit less.
Yes. Yes. But you can't have that if you're trying to play, say, Buck Rogers.
No, no.
Or Conan. Conan needs to get slashed up.
Yeah. It's kind of one of the things I do find a little unfortunate about 4, that is they don't really have a way to... They've gotten really good at amping up the power for a really high fantasy, wading your way through the goblin hordes. There's not really a very good way to turn it down.
True. You do have to burn through a team's second winds and other healing surge abilities.
And if there's a cleric in the party, good lord.
You're
good lord. A cleric and a paladin in a party?
Which is what we have right now. Right now, actually, we have a 4th ed D&D game that Mike's running. I'm playing a healing-focused cleric. Adam's playing a AoE blasting warlock. And our friend CK, who we're probably going to invite at some point if he can ever find time to join us for a recording, is playing a paladin. And
a dwarven paladin.
Yes, I'm a dwarven cleric, and we are healing like
madmen.
Dirty
dwarves.
Adam gets into playing an Eladrin, being the highest of the highest elves.
And
yes.
They're evil. Oh, well.
Not exactly
he is
evil.
Playing a
warlock.
Warlock. Yeah, so.
I'm not technically evil, worship demons. It's.
We made a deal with the
devil.
Yeah,
I don't know how that doesn't make you not evil.
Hey.
I'm not technically evil, I just worship demons.
Made pacts with them and stuff.
But he just said he worshipped them.
Well, technically not. Well,
no, in the description it just talks about making a pact
I know
with some
that's
sort of creature. You talked about making a pact with a devil.
Exactly.
Which
well, it
I
needs
did
to
like,
be in an infernal pact. An infernal
it
pact.
It doesn't have to be, because they did also offer the option of the Fae pacts. Mind you, they give you totally different powers, and that's not the cleric, the character you want to play.
No.
But that's fine.
Oh, no, I want to do damage.
Yes.
I want to see the big numbers.
Yes, you... Coming from an MMO, you are like that.
Yes. I'm heavily like that.
I don't like a lot of crunch to my
game. I play that way even in Magic, though. I mean, look at my elf deck.
You come out
deck.
Swinging.
Look at my elf deck. Fireballs for 70 points
you
of
come
damage.
Out swinging. Mike, on the other hand, just makes one decisive blow and ends.
Well, Mike will sit there and combination cards, you know, and be like, well, all right, well, my turn goes on forever. Congratulations, guys. You're all dead.
I always have been a big fan of blue.
Yes, but that's another example of how game mechanics can change the tone, because if game mechanics allow for that sort of combo system, then players are going to exploit it, and you're going to get a different flow to combat. Like, in 2nd and D&D, there weren't a lot of combos, apart from putting together some spells.
Yeah.
So, combat tended to just be slogging through the hits, swinging at each other. A little tactical movement if you were using a battle map. On the other hand, you've got Well, third edition was dirty with combos between all the feats you could take.
Rife with combos.
Yes, pairing up different classes and feats, especially if your DM was willing to let you take two or three levels of a variety of classes.
That's ultimately why they had to rewrite the system, I think.
Yeah, because now in 4th Edge, you still have your combos, but they're very tightly controlled, they're very specific, and they're always planned ahead.
Although, we'll see what happens when the new books come out. I haven't really been paying attention to the new stuff. And I know we were going to keep this system agnostic, but who gives a damn? I mean, it's we're talking about us for a minute, so...
And we're also bouncing around between systems. I figure it's fine so long as we don't focus on a system. We just provide examples of what we're talking about.
Sure, sure.
And then, I'd like to take a minute and talk about changing rules. We're talking about going from, like, 3rd Ed to 4th Ed, also all the rules rewrites that happened in Deadlands.
No matter what game you should play, unless there's a structured game system in front of you, which is only really implementable in video games, I believe that there should always be some sort of house rules implemented.
I'm a big fan of the Golden Rule.
Well, of course. To paraphrase Kerry Gygax, the biggest secret we need to make sure they never learn is that they don't need our rules. Which
is why you like Spirit of the Century. I like to have options. I like to have a structured, vast rule set that I can draw from, which is why 3rd Ed was kind of nice.
It's like ordering Chinese food. A little from column A, a little from column B.
Yeah, no, that's very good.
Piece together your character.
I like to do that. I like options. I don't necessarily want to have to make everything up on the fly like you do with Spirit of the Century.
I do. I love making it up on the fly. I'm perfectly content with that. In fact, there's a game system I heard about called Universalis.
I know you'll
have no interest in it.
Okay, good. So don't even bother then.
But I do want to try...
Because I hate fun, remember?
Yes, you do hate fun. I don't know why you hate fun, but I'm pretty sure fun beats...
Why do you have a Beanie Baby up here?
Would you just let it go, okay?
No, why is there a Beanie Baby up here?
Look, every evil genius has their little thing, and, you know, like...
So, like, if I were to tear its head off, would that send you into, a rage, or would it be more like a quiet rage where one day I'd just not wake up?
Probably the second one.
Oh, okay.
Maybe not even that extreme, but I definitely... I'd decapitate something of yours. Come on, man. You know every good villain has their little innocuous thing that makes them human. Darth Vader loved his son. Veterinary has his stupid little dog. Alright, Palpatine didn't have anything, but Palpatine was less a villain and more a force of nature.
Yeah, I think we're done.
We're done?
I think.
Alright, well, we don't need to turn it off. We can just record random other shit. Like, come on, man. Sith beat the Jedi. Look at the 6 movies. The 6 movies are all about how one Sith Lord destroyed 10,000 Jedi.
The Jedi's are always worth paying.
Bitches.
Yes.
The Jedi are fucking bitches.
Yes. Yes, they are. I don't know how the Sith Empire ever lost the First War.
Now, if only, like, Jedi had the ability to have access to lightsabers, then I'd say they might be safe.
Jedi can eat it. They were taken down by one Sith Lord. One.
You have to admit, though,
apprentices. During the Clone War, he just burned through them. Grievous, Dooku, Darth Maul. He just used them up. Sorry, you were saying?
He's pretty sneaky about it, though.
That doesn't matter. He still won.
Wasn't like a... I'd like to see, like, the Jedi on one side of a battlefield... And, like, the Sith on the other side of the... No, like, sneakiness behind it. All for one, one for all of them go.
Well, that's the Sith-Jedi War during the Old Republic. That's the role-playing game I want to run. That's when the Star Wars MMO is taking place. That's when the KOTOR RPGs on the console and computer take place. It's my favorite time of the Star Wars era.
But see, I mean, with that kind of role-playing game, I mean, yeah, that'd be cool to be a Jedi, or to be Sith, or to have those maybe lightsabers. Yeah, it'd be cool to be doing,
evil.
You know, do a couple of D6,
go
whatever.
Team evil.
But I mean, if you go back to that kind of era, you can either go Jedi and just be a douchebag, you know, and role-play a douchebag. Or you can go Sith and just pretty much fall into the role of normal destruction.
Well, don't destroy everything. Some of them do. Some of them are all about destruction. A lot of them are about just power and controlling. They're about being in charge.
They go like Super Saiyan when they're like consumed by rage.
Yes, they do. There is a lot of. There's a lot of rage getting spilled around. Destruction. That's why the true masters, like the Sith lords, like Palpatine, they're like lasers. They focus their hate.
It all pretty much comes down to it when you're balancing the difference between Jedi and Sith. It's either you can be a walking glow stick, or you can be like a walking, you know, fire pillar of death.
Look, if you really look at Palpatine's motives, he won through all six movies, all the way into the New Jedi Order. Palpatine won. All he wanted to do was show the power of hate and that the Jedi were wrong. He destroyed the Jedi, showed them their philosophy was wrong, showed Luke the power of hate, which caused Luke to go on and found the New Jedi Order, which was a combination of all human emotions.
Well,
embracing all of them
Palpatine
in moderation.
Lost.
Whoa! How do you mean technically he lost?
Because
he
his goal was to stop the one who would bring balance to the Force.
And he did not.
Which
do
he
that.
Did not do, because Luke eventually brought balance to the Force.
Yes. All right. Yes, there is that little thing.
The little fact that he lost.
Well, no, he didn't. His point was made, which is a victory.
What? No, you're reaching.
Look, Palpatine had his moral victory. Luke didn't go off and found another Jedi Order. He founded a new Jedi Order.
What? There's no difference.
No, but Luke's point of the new Jedi was that you don't ignore half of your emotions. Don't ignore your hate. Just acknowledge it and use it. Embrace the hate. Alright.
I do a search for Dungeons and Dragons, and the first thing that comes up is YouTube Rickrolled.
What? I...
For real, dude.
That's not appropriate. Why is Wizards not coming up? Wizards should be number one.
Which site do you go to for all your... What the hell?
Alright. Looks like Mike's going to get into studying the adventure so he can run it for us tomorrow.
A video here.